UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres calls for maximum restraint following Iran's retaliatory attack against Israel. Oil prices seen to rise further amid fears the Middle East is now on the brink of a full-scale conflict. Manila's ambassador to Washington believes the recent trilateral summit will prevent further tensions in the West Philippine Sea. And transport officials once again belittle the effects of the latest transport strike against government's PUV modernization program. I'm Stanley Palisada. Dateline Philippines begins right now. For those of you joining us or watching us on YouTube and Facebook, glad you could join us. All eyes on the Middle East after Iran launched explosive drones and fired missiles at Israel in its first direct attack on Israeli territory. Most of the drones and missiles were downed before reaching Israeli territory. But authorities say a young girl was critically injured. The attack also sparked widespread concerns of further escalation of tensions in the region. The overnight barrage is in retaliation for a suspected Israeli attack on Iran's embassy in Syria that killed 13 people, including senior Iranian military commanders. Israeli officials say Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's war cabinet is in favor of retaliation, though the panel is divided over the timing and scale of any response.
Last night was a proof that Iran seeks escalation. Iran launched over 350 threats, ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, rockets, and suicide drones towards Israel, and also other countries in the region could have got that threat on the way. Iran doesn't just pose a threat to Israel, Iran poses a threat to the entire Middle East. Iran, from the beginning of the war, wants only one thing, to escalate the region. Until now, she worked through her proxies, but now she revealed, trying to escalate the region herself.
Iran said it gave neighboring countries and the United States 72 hours notice about the strikes. The U.S., however, denies receiving an extensive warning, saying Tehran only sent a message after the attacks began. The U.S. rules out joining any counteroffensive against Iran. The White House says the U.S. will continue to help Israel defend itself, but does not want war.
It's going to be up to the Israelis to decide what the next step is here. I will just say this. President Biden, since the beginning of this conflict, has worked very hard to keep this from becoming a broader regional war.
U.S. President Joe Biden is in a diplomatic quest to stabilize the situation in the Middle East. The chief executive has met with leaders of other G7 nations, including Canada, France, Japan, and the U.K., as they try to avoid further escalation. Biden's also met with Jordan's King Abdullah II to discuss Iran's retaliatory strike as well as humanitarian assistance in Gaza. The international community urging calm following Iran's unprecedented attack on Israel. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres calls for maximum restraint with the Middle East now on the brink of a devastating full-scale conflict.
I stated the following last night, and I quote, "I strongly condemn the serious escalation represented by the large-scale attack launched on Israel by the Islamic Republic of Iran, and we have a shared responsibility to actively engage all parties concerned to prevent further escalation." As the Friendly Relations Declaration of 1970 states, acts of reprisal involving the use of force are barred under international law. We have a shared responsibility to secure an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza, the immediate and unconditional release of all hostages, and the unimpeded delivery of humanitarian aid.
The Philippine Foreign Affairs Department also expressing serious concern over the increasing tensions in the region. It called on Israel and Iran to work towards a peaceful resolution of their conflict. The Philippine government moving to secure the release of four Filipino seafarers aboard a Portuguese cargo ship hijacked by Iranian forces on Saturday. Iran's Revolutionary Guards reportedly seized the MSC Aris near the Strait of Hormuz for its alleged links to Israel. The Philippine Migrant Workers Department, meanwhile, assures the public the four Filipinos are safe and sound.
Nandun pa rin on board yung ating mga tripulante, hindi sila bumaba sa barko at sila ay safe and sound sa huling ulat. Pero bagamat ganon, tayo ay humihingi pa rin ng pagkakataon na makausap sila, lalo na yung mga kamag-anak nila. Ito ang isang pagkakaiba nito sa, let's say, sitwasyon ng Somali pirate o kaya mga Houthi rebels. Iranian government ang nagsagawa ng pagsampa sa barko. Kaya ang meron naman tayong diplomatikong relations with Iran dahil may embahada tayo sa Tehran.
An analyst now says Iran's strikes in Israel displayed the gap in its military capabilities in comparison to those of Israel and its ally, the U.S. The International Crisis Group said the attack may erode Iran's deterrence because it caused little damage. The group, however, warned of catastrophe if Israel and Iran further escalate their confrontation.
As long as the war in Gaza continues, if there is an invasion of Rafah, if the humanitarian situation in Gaza exacerbates, if Israel becomes more brazen in attacking Iranian assets or goes all the way to targeting Iran on its own soil, if Iran then takes the lesson from what it has done yesterday, that this attack was basically cost-free for it and it can target Israel on its own soil and get away with it, then we will end up in a situation it's just a matter of time before all sides will end up in an all-out catastrophic regional war that will have no winners.
Oil prices expected to further spike in the wake of Iran's attack on Israel. Benchmark Brent crude is already up almost 20% this year and was last trading at around $90 a barrel, the highest in 6 months. Here at home, local pump prices have also been on the rise for four straight weeks due to the tensions in the Middle East. Starting Tuesday, gasoline prices will see a 40 centavo hike per liter, while kerosene will increase by 85 centavos per liter. Diesel prices, meanwhile, will see the biggest jump of nearly 1 peso. Clean Fuel CEO Bong Suntay urging Filipinos to brace for another price hike next week.
Negative ang magiging effect nito. Any threat of war, any threat of any strikes among the Middle Eastern countries will always have an effect sa fuel prices. Middle East supplies 40% of global oil crude oil exports. Meron din na shipping risks na involved ngayon na baka among yung mga cargo vessels, siyempre meron pang ngamba na baka naman sila yung susunod na tamaan. Dahil nga dun sa drone strike na nangyari, mag-decide ang US to tighten oil exports coming from Iran again. Pagka nangyari yun, siyempre magkakaroon ng epekto na naman yan dahil tataas ang presyo ng crude oil.
In other news, Manila's envoy to Washington, Jose Manuel Romualdez, hopeful the recently concluded trilateral summit between the Philippines, the U.S., and Japan will further prevent tensions in the West Philippine Sea. Beijing's maritime aggression was front and center during the historic event, with the three nations expressing solid commitment to ensure freedom of navigation in the disputed waters.
Both the United States and Japan made it very clear that we will continue with the maritime patrols that we have already started. I cannot understand some of the people that are saying that we are veering towards the United States. We see a country that continues to go into our economic zone. They continue to harass our fishermen. They continue to have the aggressive behavior of water cannons. I can't see any other way why we will not now go to an ally like the United States and now even Japan to be able to go together and be able to stop this type of aggressive behavior. We can't do anything better than that.
Aside from defense cooperation, Romualdez also touts the investment pledges secured by the Philippines during the event. He believes the summit will be the country's first step towards achieving economic prosperity. Last week, Japanese and American firms pledged billions of pesos in investments into the Philippines, covering the sectors of communications, semiconductor, and nuclear energy.
It will define where our country will be in the next 5 to 10 years. This tripartite agreement or this tripartite summit is only the beginning, but it is unquestionably where we want to be. We want to be in the center of economic activity between two major countries like Japan and the United States. There will be more of this. This is really the best thing I think that will happen to us in terms of because of our agreement and because of the alliance that we have with the United States and Japan. It will really lure in more investments into our country.
Now, Davao City Mayor Sebastian Duterte calling the West Philippine Sea issue mere propaganda. Duterte made that statement before thousands of supporters at a peace rally in Tagum City last night. Let's get a reaction now from Commodore Jay Tariela, the Philippine Coast Guard's spokesperson on the West Philippine Sea. Commodore Tariela, welcome to Dateline Philippines.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon and a pleasant afternoon as well to your viewers, sir.
I'm glad you could join us. Now, Davao Mayor Sebastian Duterte had shared his views on the West Philippine Sea issue. Let's take them point by point. First, that the West Philippine issue is a mere propaganda to drag the Philippines into a proxy war of sorts between China and the U.S. Does he have a point?
No, sir. He doesn't make any logical argument about that. We know for a fact that the West Philippine Sea issue has already been decided by the arbitral court. We already have a victory in 2016 regarding this issue. The mere fact that this was already decided by an international arbitration court, this means that this is not just a propaganda. Our problem, the West Philippine Sea, really, with China is really existing. Mm-hmm. Secondly, you know, we have relied on our embedded journalists to amplify our transparency in the West Philippine Sea. Okay. Our journalists, media reporters who joined the mission mm-hmm. can be able to testify what is really happening in the West Philippine Sea. And then lastly, Filipino fishermen still complains about the harassment of the Chinese Coast Guard and the Chinese maritime militia. And of course, we are also experiencing a lot of trouble whenever we do the supply operation with the armed forces of the Philippines. Mm-hmm. These are not propaganda. These are factual narratives that are really happening that we are all experiencing. Mm-hmm. I don't see any reason why and how an elected official at that will be able to mention a national security issue that we are all facing as a mere propaganda.
Okay, Commodore Tariela, he's also saying that the U.S. is a big weapons and war equipment supplier and that this is to the benefit of the U.S., I mean, whatever developments in the West Philippine Sea, whether the tensions will heaten up and conflict may arise. It is the U.S., he says, that will benefit the most from this. I mean, have we actually purchased any equipment, war equipment, related to the West Philippine Sea campaign?
Well, you know, sir, I cannot speak for the Armed Forces of the Philippines whenever we talk about the acquisition. Mm. But as far as the Philippine Coast Guard is concerned, our modernization and the capability building of the Coast Guard for additional assets, these are delivered to us by the Japanese government, even through an ODA or a soft loan. Mm-hmm. It means this is not a business for to justify a war that they are claiming that it's just the United States or any other country that pushes the Philippines to have a proxy war with China. What we need to emphasize here is that even before the United States came into picture, we already had troubles with them when they took the Mischief Reefer mass in 1995. The Scarborough Shoal standoff has also been a proof that even without the United States, we don't still have EDCA during that time. Visiting Forces Agreement were also not thoroughly discussed during that time. And yet, the Chinese had been doing the reclamation activities. And 2016 to 2022, even if President his father, the former President Duterte, has become very more closer with China and keeps a certain distance with the U.S. government, we are still experiencing harassment of the Filipino fishermen. The resupply operation has still been very difficult for the armed forces of the Philippines to fulfill. And there are also swarming of the Chinese maritime militia. In short, it's not about the United States. The Chinese, People's Republic of China has really been the one violating the international law, do not respect our sovereign rights, and still provoke the armed force of the Philippines and the Philippine Coast Guard whenever we maintain our presence in the West Philippine Sea.
Okay. Okay. His third and last point, Commodore Tariela, the Davao mayor expressed apprehensions on the possible enlistment of Filipino soldiers in the event that this becomes a full-blown war. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, you know, there was already a survey conducted about this. I think it was already released last January, wherein more Filipinos now have mentioned that they are willing to support our country in fight for our sovereignty. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what is the basis of Mayor Duterte in mentioning that it will be difficult for the national government to ask the support of the Filipino public in maintaining our fight for the West Philippine Sea.
All right, and I guess that is also the message to all of those Filipinos who may be worried, who may share the same sentiment as the Davao mayor as to how this would involve Filipino soldiers in the event that, you know, this becomes or escalates into a full-blown war. Now, Commodore Tariela, how much value do those statements coming from the Davao mayor have in the grand scheme of things?
Well, you know, sir, the only thing that matters now is the statement of the president and entire National Task Force West Philippine Sea. And of course, our commitment on the part of the Philippine Coast Guard and the Armed Forces of the Philippines in maintaining our presence in the West Philippine Sea. Mm. This is the only thing that has more significance to the Filipino people. A mere statement of a Davao City mayor, it's not just I'm not giving so much a recognition of his words, but the mere fact that our president, who is the, you know, chief of our architect of our foreign policy, it has more weight considering that he's the one representing our country in discussing our issue in the West Philippine Sea together with any other foreign leaders. Secondly, the entire national government, not just the Armed Forces of the Philippines, but all of the government that are part of the National Task Force West Philippines has one solid voice in support of our efforts in the West Philippine Sea. I don't see any reason that his statement would derail our efforts in the West Philippine Sea. The Armed Forces of the Philippines remains to be committed in maintaining our presence in the West Philippine Sea and for fighting for our sovereignty and sovereign rights. So I don't see any reason that the statement of Mayor Duterte would be able to discourage our soldiers and our sailors from the Coast Guard to push for our sovereign rights and sovereignty in the West Philippine Sea, sir.
All right, let's go to the West Philippine Sea now. We recently had a trilateral summit in the U.S. with President Marcos attending. What immediate developments can you now share with us after the U.S., Japan, and the Philippines concluded that meeting? I mean, what are the deliverables and where are we on those now?
Well, honestly, sir, I still don't have the complete details about what really transpired with the trilateral summit. I think the Department of Foreign Affairs or the Department of National Defense has more details to inform the public about it. Mm-hmm. But what I can tell you is that this kind of engagement that our president had with President Biden and Prime Minister Kishida is a good sign that the international community is standing up together with our fight in the West Philippine Sea, that they still support our position in the West Philippine Sea to counter the illegal presence, the provocative behavior, and the bullying tactics of the People's Republic of China, considering that it's the People's Republic of China who provokes us and doesn't hesitate to violate the international law and undermine the rules-based order.
Okay, lastly, Commodore Tariela, you know, the summit has somehow defined or formalized really the alliances that have formed between the U.S., Japan, and the Philippines. Now, having said that, do you now expect China to become more aggressive and hostile in the West Philippine Sea, given that it has expressed displeasure over these alliances of the three countries? And what are the strategies? How would you approach these challenges on the part of Coast Guard?
Well, first of all, let us first highlight the fact that even without this kind of engagement we had with the United States or even the Japanese government or any like-minded states, the escalation of tension has been always been intensified by the People's Republic of China. The mere fact that they are increasing their number of the Chinese Coast Guard, that they are preventing the armed forces of the Philippines from completing a resupply mission, and that they are harassing the Filipino fishermen, they have always intensified the tension in the West Philippine Sea. It will be surprising if ever China would not choose to deploy their maritime forces in the West Philippine Sea. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to give them so much credit that they're going to, because of what we're doing, that the tension and the provocation will be increased to the next level. As I said, even without this, they have been consistently violating the law and undermining our own sovereignty.
And don't you think this would also work the other way around? Will they be more cautious now that, you know, you have this alliance, very vocal, and now really coming up with strategies to approach the West Philippine Sea issue?
Well, that is very objective of the transparency strategy that we launched since last year, wherein the international community can support the Philippine government in standing up against the bullying action of China, for the People's Republic of China to be swayed that their illegal actions will bring them nowhere, and that the international community, the like-minded states, would be condemning and criticizing them, and it would have a much more negative implication with their relationship with other country. That is our main objective here, to pressure China with more international community, more national leaders standing up with President Bongbong Marcos, condemning and asking them to adhere to the international law.
All right. Thank you so much, Commodore Jay Tariela, spokesperson on the West Philippine Sea for the Philippine Coast Guard. Thanks a lot for sharing those thoughts with us on the show today. Have a great day.
Thank you, sir.
All right, coming up next, the ban on e-trikes, e-bikes, and similar vehicles takes effect on Metro Manila's major roads as transport groups hold another transport strike. The details when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Welcome back, Dateline Philippines. Let's now get an outlook on the weather from our resident meteorologist, Ariel Rojas. Hi, Ariel. I mean, are we expecting high temperatures again this week?
Hi, good afternoon, Stanley. Record-breaking temperatures were observed the past weekend in some areas of the country. 39 degrees Celsius was logged in Camiling, Tarlac, Etchague, Isabela, Etoguerao City, Sunday afternoon, the hottest yet this year. Meanwhile, Metro Manila also recorded its hottest so far for 2024 last Saturday at 36.1 degrees Celsius in Pasay City. The sweltering heat will continue this week as the easterlies will remain the dominant weather system in the archipelago. PAGASA forecasts dangerous level of heat index or feels-like temperature in several areas this Monday. 45 degrees in Dagupan City, 44 degrees in Puerto Princesa, 43 degrees in Aparicagayan, and 42 degrees Celsius in more than 10 areas or 10 more areas, including Pasay City. Heat cramps and heat exhaustion are already likely in these conditions, while continued exposure may lead to heat stroke. Apart from scorching heat, passing rains will also be experienced over parts of Mimaropa, Cebu, Bohol, Leyte provinces, Caraga, Bukidnon, and Zamboanga Peninsula. Afternoon thunderstorms may also be possible later in BARMM. Metro Manila, on the other hand, will be sunny, very hot, and with no chance of rain the entire week. Experts remind the public to wear comfortable clothing, avoid direct sun exposure and heavy work, and stay hydrated to prevent heat stress. That is the latest on the weather. This is Ariel Rojas. Back to you, Stanley.
Thank you so much for reminding the audience about the risks, Ariel Rojas. Thank you. Moving on, government officials once again playing down the effects of the latest transport strike. Transport groups Piston and Manibela are staging another two-day transport strike in protest of the PUV modernization program. Now, the groups are demanding that transport officials reconsider their decision to implement the April 30 consolidation deadline. At least 20,000 drivers and operators are expected to join the strike, but authorities assure commuters government is prepared for it.
Nagpasabit na kami ng inventory ng assets ng lahat ng government agencies at mga NGOs. So far naman, I think we have sufficient number ng pang-augment ng mga buses, vans, kung may mga namomonitor na ng haharas or namumwersa ng mga drivers para sumama sa tigil pasada, kagad naman yan ibabato on the ground. Naka-preposition din naman yung ating mga kapulisan.
Here's another story. We are monitoring on Metro Manila's major roads today. The ban on e-bikes, e-trikes, and other similar vehicles takes effect today. Now, Jervis Manahan joins us with an update. Jervis, over to you.
Yes, Stanley. Tricycle drivers had apprehensions on the implementation of the ban on light vehicles in major roads in Metro Manila. The MMDA announced today that while they will not be issuing tickets today, the implementation will actually start today, April 15. There will be an information drive until tomorrow, and they will only remind drivers of the ban. E-bikes, tricycles, e-trikes, and light vehicles such as scooters will be prohibited to allegedly lessen accidents. Drivers of tricycles are fearing that this policy will adversely affect their livelihood. They said a lot of passengers need to be dropped off in major roads, so they have no choice but to ply these highways. If they go in inner roads, their travel time and the distance will be longer, which means they will have to spend more for fuel. They are also apprehensive about the fine, which amounts to 2,500 pesos. They said they earn barely enough to meet their needs, and they might have to work for 4 to 5 days to earn this amount of money. Most of the drivers are hoping MMDA will reconsider this policy. The MMDA said they will start to issue tickets to violators by Wednesday. Stanley.
All right, Jervis Manahan, thank you so much. Still ahead, former U.S. President Donald Trump set to stand trial in a criminal case. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on AMP. Welcome back. Some good news for motorists. The days of carrying around those big paper driver's licenses will be over as early as tomorrow, Tuesday. Victoria Tula joins us to tell us why. Victoria, is that true?
That's correct, Stanley. Land Transportation Office Chief Assistant Secretary Vigor Mendoza II announced this morning that LTO will start distributing plastic license cards nationwide starting tomorrow, April 16. This after the Court of Appeals lifted the injunction on the contract of the government with Banner Plastics Incorporated. The contract was for the delivery of 5.2 million plastic cards. Prior to the injunction in 2023, Banner Plastics had delivered 2 million cards. After this was lifted last March, it has delivered 1 million. Today, 600,000 more plastic cards were received by LTO. This brings the current number of cards in the agency's possession to 1.6 million. Another 1.6 million is expected by the end of the month. Because of this, Mendoza assured that the problem of 4.1 million backlog in licenses will be solved by June. He reminded the public, however, that there is a schedule in claiming the licenses. Those whose licenses expired on April 1 to August 31.
All right. Okay. Continue, please.
Those whose cards expired from September 1 to December 31, 2023, and May 1 to May 31, 2024, can claim their new cards from May 1 to May 31, 2024. Those whose cards expired from January 1 to March 31, 2024, and June 1 to 30, 2024, from June 1 to 30, 2024. Tomorrow, LTO is also selling plastic for the delivery of 5 million cards. This will be enough to pay the needs of most until January 2025. Stanley?
All right. Thank you so much for the update, Victoria Tula there. World news now, the historic trial of Donald Trump involving hush money payment to an adult film star set to begin in New York. Trump will become the first former U.S. president to stand trial in a criminal case. He is accused of falsifying his business records to disguise a payment made to Stormy Daniels to keep quiet about their alleged affair. Trump faces a maximum of 4 years in jail if convicted. The historic trial will take place against the backdrop of his presidential campaign as Trump seeks a return to the White House. Six killed after a stabbing incident in a mall in Sydney Saturday. Five of the six victims were women, while eight others, including a nine-month-old baby, were treated for stab wounds. Police say the assailant, identified as 40-year-old Joel Cauchi, had mental health issues in the past. They also ruled out terrorist motives in the attack. Australia has some of the world's toughest gun and knife laws.
The individual stories of those who've been killed, the complete strangers rushing in to help, as well as acts of courage and bravery, mean that whether you know the individuals who've been killed or not, you're grieving today. And the entire state will have to get behind those families in the days ahead as they recover and they go through the inevitable grief associated with such a horrifying, horrifying event. My message is, let's come together. We'll recover. It's going to be a very difficult few days, and those families no doubt have gone through hell, but there's 8 million people in this state that are behind them. Everybody's grieving as a result of this, and they're not alone.
At least 18 people have been killed in landslides on the Indonesian island of Sulawesi. Rescue efforts are still ongoing for two reported missing. The local government also reports two people in critical condition. Landslides triggered by heavy rains affected two villages in the mountainous regions of Tanah Toraja, about 300 kilometers from the provincial capital Makassar. Floods and landslides killed at least 26 people on Indonesia's Sumatra Island last month, with torrential rains destroying hundreds of homes and displacing thousands. Shifting gears now in sports, Filipino athletes competing in this year's Summer Games will have a home base in France. The Philippine Olympic Committee says the athletes will stay at a state-of-the-art sports facility in the northeast city of Metz. That's from June 22 until July 22. POC President Abraham Tolentino says this is crucial for the Pinoy Olympians to acclimate to local conditions and train with the same equipment that will be used in the competition. The POC also plans to send a chef to focus on the nutritional requirements of the athletes. Now, so far, 9 Filipinos have booked their tickets to Paris, with several more vying to be added to the list. Award-winning filmmaker Ramona Diaz chronicles the Filipino people's fight for democracy during the 2022 polls in her documentary, And So It Begins. Our Hollywood correspondent, Yong Chavez, gives us a look.
In discussing And So It Begins, the documentary she stars in, 2021 Nobel Peace Prize awardee Maria Ressa laughingly recalls that she did not quite agree with one storytelling decision that award-winning filmmaker Ramona Diaz made for the film.
We've seen you brave, and you do that here too, but, you know, seeing your vulnerability too. Did you hesitate at all in putting that on screen?
Yes, a lot. I got mad at Ramona. I was like, stop showing me angry. I spent my entire career learning to squash my anger, right? And then she only shows me when I'm angry in this film.
That's not true. Not only when you're angry. That's not true.
Oh, and then getting surprised by the Nobel. She zooms in only on these moments. Like, all my calmness is gone in this film.
Our problem is that that emotion is vulnerability. That is vulnerability for a journalist. That will be attacked. The best part is it's not about Rappler or me.
Ressa has a good reason to be concerned. As someone who advocates for truth in journalism, for many years, she endured being the target of hate by vicious online trolls focused on people who report on former Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte. Among other things, And So It Begins chronicles the effects of his presidency. But in the end, Ressa says that what the film provides in terms of information and insight is more important, especially in light of appalling efforts to dismantle press freedom and influence elections in countries like the Philippines.
What measures can be done to correct it?
I've spent most of the last 2 years working on policy, really outside the Philippines. You know, I no longer have an editorial role in Rappler. In order to solve our problems in the Philippines, we have to go outside the Philippines. We have to make sure that these tech companies are not exploiting us.
And So It Begins continues the story started by Diaz in 2020's Peabody-winning documentary, A Thousand Cuts. The film highlights the hope, heartbreak, bravery, and challenges faced by Filipinos during the 2022 presidential elections between Ferdinand Marcos Jr. and Lenny Robredo.
What was it like capturing that on film?
It was overwhelming to capture it, and we captured a lot. So even the putting it together was also overwhelming. VP Lenny always says she didn't know, they didn't know whether it would be a lonely campaign. They thought it would be a lonely campaign, and then people just started showing up in numbers. And you can see this is the end to something or just the beginning. And that's why we also called it And So It Begins. We wanted to lean in on the hope.
Did the Marcoses have any reaction to the making of this film?
Not yet. but we were, I wasn't allowed to film any of the rallies, right? I'd welcome their reaction.
And So It Begins premiered at Sundance earlier this year and will be one of the top billed offerings at the 40th VC Film Fest. The Los Angeles-based film festival highlights stories from diverse filmmakers and communities. Apart from Filipinos resisting oppression and fighting for what they believe would be for the betterment of the Philippines, Ressa and former Philippine Vice President Lenny Robredo are front and center in the movie. The feature-length documentary was originally conceived as an episode for the award-winning PBS documentary series Frontline, which also released 1,000 cuts. And So It Begins screens at the VC Film Fest in Los Angeles on May 2 as part of its Democracy series, which shows urgent and substantial stories from different nations. Yong Chavez, ABS-CBN News, here in Hollywood.
A dystopian thriller and a comedy drama about a family of squats or Sasquatch are coming to cinemas. Our resident Manny, the movie guy, tells us what he thinks.
A nation at war with itself.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces.
United States no longer united.
The president assures the uprising.
Serious and it's dangerous.
Alex Garland, the guy who gave us Ex Machina and Annihilation, turns his sights on America in disarray.
Citizens of America.
We learn that the president, played by Nick Offerman, is in his third term. The FBI has been abolished. California and Texas have seceded. Florida is in cahoots. America is in shambles.
These United States.
We see all this through the eyes of journalists led by Lee, the wonderful Kirsten Dunst. Joel, the reporter, played by Wagner Moura, veteran journalist Sammy, played by Stephen McKinley Henderson, and the newbie Jesse, played by Priscilla's Kaylee Spaney.
Like, why didn't I just tell him?
Like a deranged road trip movie, we follow the group as they go to D.C. to interview the president.
It shook me when I first saw it.
You will feel embedded in this war zone. It's viscerally arresting and doesn't blame red or blue states. It's neither anti-MAGA or anti-woke.
You don't know what side they're fighting for.
This I know. Civil War makes us confront the sad reality that when democracy dies, anarchy lives. And for that, Civil War gets 3.5 out of 4. God bless America. Kisses. Also in theaters, Sasquatch Sunset. Shot like a nature documentary, follow a family of Sasquatch as they navigate life over a period of 1 year. There's Jesse Eisenberg as the Beta Bigfoot, Riley Keough as Mama Bigfoot, Christoph Zajac Denek as her baby Bigfoot, and Nathan Zellner, who's also one of the directors, as the Alpha Bigfoot.
We've loved Bigfoot since we were kids.
From the Zellner brothers, Sasquatch Sunset is funny, raunchy, heartfelt, and poignant. From the committed actors to its affecting storyline, Sasquatch Sunset will make you laugh and think and perhaps respect nature at the same time.
One of the most inventive and original films I've seen in quite a long time.
That's so kind. Thank you.
And for that, Sasquatch Sunset gets 3.5 out of 4. Primal Instinct kisses. I'm Manny the Movie Guy for ANC.
And before we go, the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris slowly regaining its iconic visage after nearly 5 years of reconstruction work. A major fire broke out in Notre Dame back in April 2019, causing heavy damage. Now the scaffolding that has surrounded much of the cathedral's facade is being removed little by little. and a new spire is already visible. Some 500 workers are present on the site every day, racing to rebuild the cathedral, which was Europe's most visited monument before the fire. French President Emmanuel Macron has said the restoration work is on schedule, with Notre Dame slated to reopen to the public on December 8th. That's this year. And that'll do it for today. Thanks a lot for joining us. I'm Stanley Palisade. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on the YouTube channel of ABS-CBN News and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe, everyone, as you keep it here on the news channel.